Now we come to our Bible readings, and the first Bible reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At this time I'll carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons uttered blasphemies against God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And the second reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We sang these words at the beginning of the service. Isn't it great when you can sing the words of Scripture? Romans 12, 1. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning again, everybody. Thank you, Robin. It's always good to have Robin Neville in the front row to offer their encouragement, ensure that you're still living out there. If you could have open the first passage that we had read, you could either find it inside the newsletter if you want to follow it that way, and there's a sermon outline along with it, or if you want to go old school, have a book in your hands, there you go. I've been talking about different forms of communication earlier. You can still hold a book, and in the Blue Bibles, you'll find this passage on page 231, page 231, if you'd like to follow there. Let me pray as we hear the preaching of God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy it is to meet together as your people and to have you speak to us. Thank you for your promise to be with us and to open your word to us. And we pray, Father, that that would happen now and that our hearts would be willing and able to receive what your word has to say. And in so doing, that we might honour you as our Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for any human relationship to prosper, words are always needed. It's hard for a relationship to grow if there are never any words spoken. And not just words, of course, but words that are true, words which don't contain lies. Untruthful words harm relationships, they breed confusion and generate mistrust. True words, if delivered in a loving way and received rightly, have tremendous power to build. In this series that we're looking at in the first book of Samuel in the Old Testament, you may remember if you've been here, we've travelled back around 3,000 years to a period of Israel's history where you might say Israel is somewhat on the ropes. They're living in the land that God had promised to them, but they're lacking an honest and a true leader. It's they're suffering, we heard last week, from the priesthood of two men, Hophni and Phinehas they were called, who were sons of Eli. They were priests at the time. And actually, we heard last week, Eli's whole house, his whole priestly house, has become corrupt, and they're seriously failing in their duty to God. And in a display of real honesty, the Lord spoke to Eli in chapter 2 last week, announcing to him the days of Eli's priestly house are clearly numbered. So things are going from bad to worse within Israel. Eli and his family, we're discovering, are being called to account. The situation, we learn, is dire. However, as we also saw last week, there was one ray of hope reported to us in chapter 2, and that ray of hope, you may remember, is a boy called Samuel, born against all odds to a woman named Hannah, who was faithful to God. And Samuel, serving in the place where Israel worshipped, offered true hope. He offered the hope of a future. Now remember what we saw last week, amidst all the sordid description and the messy details of what was happening in Eli's house, there was regular mention just in the background of this boy Samuel, his presence and his growth in the Lord. Let me remind you of some of those references. Chapter 2 and verse 11, then Elkanah, that's Samuel's dad, went home to Ramah, but the boy, that's Samuel, ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. Chapter 2 and verse 18, for our next mention of Samuel, but Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod, looking in every way a genuine priest. And then the final sentence in chapter 2 and verse 21, this is our next mention of Samuel. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. There he is again. And chapter 2 and verse 26, the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favour with the Lord and with people. Samuel's there in the background. And that last description, the one up there from chapter 2, verse 26, is in particular a very telling one when you realise a similar statement would later be made 1,000 years on when a boy named Jesus arose, of whom it would be said by the gospel writer Luke in Luke 2 and verse 52. See the similarities? Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. Even though terrible things were happening back in Samuel's day, and Israel looked to be on the brink, Israel looked to be rather lost, there was a light appearing on the horizon in the form of Samuel, which would shine even brighter in Jesus' day, which said, all hope is not lost. There is still a future. And in the case of Samuel, around 1050 BC, his star continues to shine when the author of 1 Samuel, again, repeats the assertion, and by now we should be getting familiar with it. He repeats the assertion in the opening verse of the passage that we're looking at today. Make sure you've got it in front of you. In chapter 3 and verse 1, we get the statement again, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Samuel wouldn't be mentioned so much if he did not have a part to play in God's dealings with Israel, dealings which would eventually find their fulfillment in the raising of another man, an even greater man named Jesus. There are parallels between Samuel and Jesus. And what chapter 3 of 1 Samuel shows today is that Samuel, like what Jesus will do later even much more, reveals God's word to Israel. That's our first point this morning. Samuel reveals God's word to Israel. Just look with me at the difference Samuel makes in the course of his life. Again, back in chapter 3 and verse 1, where we're introduced again to Samuel. This is the situation. This is the state of play, Israel's condition. Chapter 3 and verse 1. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. On the whole, in this period, God was silent and probably his people reluctant to listen. But look at how things have changed by the end of the chapter. Look at the difference the Lord makes through Samuel in chapter 3 and verse 21. This is what the situation becomes. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. That's the place where Israel worshipped and Samuel was ministering. And there he, the Lord, revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word, it goes on in the first verse of the next chapter, it goes on to say Samuel's word came to all Israel. The situation's now different. Things have changed, all because the Lord has raised up a spokesman, a town crier from heaven, not only his priest, but his prophet as well. And that spokesman is Samuel, born to Hannah back in chapter 1. Things have been shaken. Movement has happened. That means the divine recording artist, who's largely been silent for decades, perhaps even longer, now has a new album, a new release, new information, fresh words that are true. The silence has been broken. Hallelujah. However, for this to be so, one thing is needed. For Samuel the prophet to speak definitive words from the Lord, he first has to hear the word of the Lord speaking to him. And it's the account of God speaking to Samuel that forms the content of 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3 is about a prophet who, before he can speak the word of God faithfully to those around him, first has to hear that word spoken to him. And as encouraging as Samuel's presence in the background has been, and as much promise as he's shown, there's something that Samuel still lacks at this point. There is a need or deficiency in Samuel, and do you know what it is? It's spoken by the author. It's spoken of in verse 7 of 1 Samuel 3. Look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. As genuinely promising as Samuel's rise has been, there's one critical thing Samuel still lacks, and it's this. It's a real and personal acquaintance or encounter with the Lord and his word. This will be necessary for Samuel to speak the word of God to others. And it's what God provides in the events of the chapter. Now, it's a cracking story, really. One that's very memorable, but let's just go through a bit of it again. In verse 2, look with me at verse 2, we're provided with the information that Eli's eyes were becoming weak so that he could barely see. And so often in the Bible, physical blindness or deteriorating sight can be a symbol of impaired spiritual vision. And so Eli was Israel's leader, and yet he was getting so weak he could hardly see. It's not a good sign, is it, when your leader can't see? But hope, however, is given in verse 3 with the news the lamp of God in the place of worship had not gone out. It remained lit. And that's because Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was kept. Samuel was attending to his duty of ensuring the lamp remained lit throughout the whole night. And that was a designated priestly duty commanded back in Exodus 27, verses 20 and 21. And Samuel, ever the diligent priest, was fulfilling that duty. The ark of God, near to the lamp that's mentioned, was a gold-plated wooden box containing the two stone tablets on which the law of God had been engraved in the time of Moses and kept ever since. You can read about the ark in Exodus 25, and actually the ark will be mentioned in the very next chapter. We'll get to that next week. It symbolized, it represented God's presence dwelling with his people. So even though things were desperate within Israel, the Lord still remained, and the boy Samuel was right at the heart of what God was doing. Three times we discover the Lord comes and speaks directly to Samuel during the night. But each time, because Samuel did not yet know the Lord, he mistook the Lord's voice for that of Eli, his master. And so each time it's Eli to whom Samuel runs when he hears his name being called. On the third occasion, Eli twigs to what is really happening. Eli in these chapters we've seen is not always presented in a positive light, but here he knows eventually it's the Lord who's calling. And so he sends Samuel back to lie down and he says, next time you hear the voice calling your name, say the words, verse 9, say the words, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Eli now realizes what's going on, and so he instructs Samuel accordingly. And sure enough, it happens, just as Eli said. The voice of the Lord is issued a fourth time, to which finally Samuel responds, recognizing whose voice it now is. And the Lord speaks to Samuel, who's now listening, in verses 11 to 14, giving to him words confirming the demise of Eli's priestly house. Just as God had revealed in one of those rare moments when he'd spoken back in chapter 2, on that occasion through a man of God in chapter 2 and verse 27. Samuel, who now knows the Lord and hears his voice, is entrusted with the foreboding responsibility, the unenviable task of confirming to Eli the certainty of his priestly demise, his priestly rule ending. Look at verse 14 as part of what part of the word the Lord gives to Eli. Verse 14, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. The end of Eli's house is certain. Not a message, understandably, Samuel relishes at all telling Eli. In fact, he balks at it. Many would. In verse 15, Samuel was afraid to tell Eli. But on Eli's insistence, the news is shared with him by Samuel.
Eli's priestly house will most certainly end. And you have the remarkable statement of verse 18 to finish things off. Verse 18, so Samuel told Eli everything, hiding nothing from him. To which Eli responds in the same verse, speaking of God who has revealed this news to him through Samuel. Eli simply says, still in verse 18, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes.
As I said earlier, Eli's not always presented well in these chapters, and it's perhaps a little hard to evaluate what he says here, but some would say this is actually Eli's finest moment, because in just a few words, Eli doesn't hide or make excuses. In a moment of honesty, he recognises, he acknowledges he and his house is being judged by the God who knows, as Hannah described the Lord in her prayer back in chapter 2 and verse 3. The God, if you remember that prayer, by whom all human deeds are weighed and considered properly and fully, and therefore the God from whom Eli, or no one for that matter, can ever successfully run or hide. What are we to make of this in our lives today? What's this teaching us? Well, first and foremost, I say we need to comprehend the sheer wonder of God addressing humanity. That's not something we should ever pass over or diminish or ignore or take for granted. We worship a God who, unlike any idol, actually speaks. He communicates. He opens his mouth. He reveals words which, if received rightly, help and enable a prosperous relationship to grow between God and man, between God and humanity. He spoke graciously in the time of Samuel, breaking the silence of a period when the word of God was very rare. He, not us, spoke into that silence. He filled the void. And the New Testament tells us he, God, has spoken supremely. In fact, he shouted to us from heaven through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If only whispers or snapshots are heard in the Old Testament, only snippets of transmission, in the New, in his Son Jesus, God has revealed it all. A full transcript has been delivered to us from heaven in the form of his Son, delivering a word that is rich and full and that awakens the pulse and nourishes the soul. Do not miss the wonder of that, the sheer wonder that God is a God who speaks. Do not take it for granted. The author of Hebrews writes, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Samuel was a part of that. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, the Lord Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. We hear God fully and clearly through Jesus, not just a small part of the presentation, but the whole declaration, the full report, the entire briefing has been released to us from heaven in the gift of his Son, the ultimate communique, the complete press release. He's held nothing back. But for Jesus to do this, like Samuel before him, for Jesus to reveal the word of the Father to the world, he himself had to be in tune with God. Jesus had to be fully acquainted with the voice of the Father. He had to know the words he was hearing came to him from God. And that's what Jesus the Son was able to do even better than Samuel.
Jesus, the Son, knew God the Father. He recognized the Father's voice. He was fully attuned to the Father's will, so that when the Father spoke, Jesus listened, always. And all that Jesus passed on to the world were words spoken to him by his Father in the corridors of heaven. That's who Samuel's preparing us for. Now look with me again. Look with me again back to verse 19 of 1 Samuel 3. And I've put it up there on the screen. It's so important. Verse 19. This is what's said of Samuel and the Lord, meaning God. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. All that the Lord revealed to Samuel was passed on because why? The Lord was with Samuel. Who is that preparing us for? Of whom could these words be said even more? They're testifying ultimately to Jesus, who would later say, in places like John 12, verses 49 and 50, these words, these are the words of Jesus. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Like Samuel before him, it wasn't Jesus' own words he passed on or dreamed up. Was words spoken by God the Father, in whose presence Jesus the Son continually was. Jesus has said the same thing earlier in the Gospel of John, when he taught in John 8, verse 28, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak," what does he speak? "Just what the Father has taught me." This is why we can have confidence that God's word in the Bible is true, because they're Jesus' words, words Jesus himself heard and was taught in the presence of the Father, words Jesus has faithfully passed on, ensuring not one of them, because God has been with him, would fall to the ground. We have God's truth proclaimed in his Son, a word that's not lacking or deficient, incomplete, false or misguided, a word that is both full and true and positively delightful. So there's only one thing which will determine our future, one thing which will reveal who we really are. Do you know what it is? It's how we respond to Jesus' word. Jesus' identity as God's Son was revealed in how he responded to the Father's word, how he took it to his heart. He trusted that word. He accepted and believed it. He lived by it. He regarded it for what it truly was, the word spoken by God the Father, and therefore a precious word, a true word, a life-giving word, a word he took to his heart and he was even prepared to die for. Now, if that's true of Jesus, if that's how his identity as God's Son was proven and revealed, wouldn't it be true of us, his followers as well? Indeed, says Jesus, that is certainly the case. For he says in John 8 and verse 27, and with this I'm going to close, he says, "My sheep, my flock, my people, listen to my voice, and they follow me." Samuel heard the word of the Lord. In so doing, he was a forerunner to Jesus, who heard, kept, and trusted and proclaim the word of God the Father fully and faithfully. And what will reveal your identity, what will show beyond a shadow of a doubt who you belong to and where your future lies, is whether you are hearing God speak in his word this morning. And all you have to say, just like Samuel did all those years ago, is speak, Lord, your servant is listening. May God speak through his son to each one of us today, that we might genuinely and fully take it to heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a God who has not remained silent. You have not withdrawn your word from us. You have made it fully and freely available to us here this morning in the Lord Jesus. And hearing this word now, give us ears to hear, that we may respond to you in faith and humility. May we love and obey you, trusting in your holy, life-giving, precious and powerful word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.